Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hi, Care.
Hey, Lar.
You guys are listening to a bonus episode.
Sexy,
unique podcast.
Podcast.
Bonus.
For the final TSB.
What a journey.
Final Tough Sicilian Bitches. It's been a journey, and I'm proud of it.
I'm so proud of all the work we've done. It's really wild to think that when we decided to just like keep going with Tough Sicilian Bitches, it was March and now it's August. Like, it feels like a year ago that we decided, or it's like both a long time ago and yesterday. It's the weirdest experience. It's like time is like an accordion.
No, I remember you text. It was like right when COVID, it was like the first weekend of COVID.
It was the dawn of COVID.
And you were like, I'm going to need this to help.
Yeah.
Keep myself warm Italian comfort. And I was like, totally. It was like, it might have been the same day as En Masse.
I think it was like En Masse adjacent. En Masse pushed me to a place of just needing my Northern Italian Jersey ladies to embrace me with a warm hug and then slap me across the face and call me a whore.
As I've said, though, I wasn't wrong.
What?
It was a place of En Masse.
Actually, you were absolutely right. And it turned out to be 1,000% En Masse. That just keeps going. At that point,
I'm not trying to be like, I'm right.
I know what you're saying.
You were also absolutely right to like shut me out for a few hours because you needed me to just shut the fuck up for a second.
Yeah, this has been an interesting time of learning how different people deal with problems that are going on in the world, and especially it's like a unique time because the entire world is experiencing the same thing at once. So it really like opens your eyes, and like then the choice falls on you as far as like what you're gonna engage with and what you can't engage with. And I just at that moment I like couldn't engage with it on my
you had every right to shut me up or to shut me off.
I was like, okay, I'll talk to you later.
And then okay.
Okay. Amazing. So
but goodbye. It's been like a 6 month journey of the show, which is crazy.
It's crazy.
It's and the longest season of my life.
By the end I was like, oh. And then even like today. Like, I'm just like, oh my God, like it's a trying journey. And really the only thing that makes it better to just emotionally engage with is knowing that Teresa goes to jail and like changes her perspective. But if she had never gone to jail, I would have gone to jail. You know what I mean?
Wait, should we just do Tough Sicilian first?
Yeah, we were
going to do bonus, and then this just turned into TSB.
This is the one. This is the final Tough Sicilian Bitches.
Tough Sicilian Bitches.
We're tough Sicilian.
Sons of bitches.
And we're bitches. Use some Tough Sicilian Bitches over here.
Sons of bitches. That's my. Also, this season never really lived up to the first episode ever.
Never. You can't.
Never.
It's so hard to start on a note with a full blown brawl at a baby's christening. Where do you go from there?
I kind of wish that had been like either a midpoint or. And then the rest of the season was dealing with that. Like, I guess it had to set the tone, but like, I wish that it had been more like the hair pulling episode, which was like the mid season climax. Because that was such good. Because even when that season was starting to drag a little, like when that happened, you were just like, oh my God. And it like carried you kind of into the finale.
Yeah. This got really trying after a while. Like, just that same dynamic playing out. It's like, how many episodes can you watch where you're just like, God, Teresa's such a fucking psycho? And like,
yeah.
There's no evolution. Yeah, like there's no resolution or evolution in this person's like character. But also it's like, I guess this show was in its nascent stages. So the producers, when you strike gold like a brawl at a christening, you have no choice but to just lead with it.
No, you have. And it was, I mean, in some way it was a bold first episode to introduce new characters like that. And then to have them literally brawling.
Yeah. I applaud the whole team. Congrats to the team. And I like making a bold choice like that.
No, it was punk. I have to give them that. But at the same time, it was the great tragedy of this season was that nothing. You got such a taste of. I mean, explosive family drama that nothing could. Go there.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing could live up to that. And it just kind of sailed. I mean, there were moments that were like intense and funny and compelling, but I'd say overall, I'd give this season overall a C.
I'd give it
or a B. I'll give it a B just for the brawl alone.
Yeah, I would say a B minus for me, just because a B for brawl, but then minus for everything else that happened.
And I'm going to give it a solid B, and I'm not going to give it a B minus, mostly for Rosie.
Okay. Yeah. We did get a little bit of Rosie. I like it, seeing any flashbacks of her watching in the window to make sure that no one's fucking with Kathy. I like Rosie keeping an eye on things. They're still pirate.
What is she wearing?
She's wearing a shirt, but then her silk, like. I think it was just a silk scarf that she tied. Yeah. It was a very Johnny Depp move, which I respect.
But she's just watching in the windows. And then when she sees them hugging, you see Rosie just nodding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
We'll be good with this one.
But yeah, I was, I guess season four kind of picks back up again.
Season four, I think, is better.
I went on the Wikipedia. Yeah.
No, you need it to really get into the. Once we now we know the dynamics, so it's going to be more.
Yeah.
We'll get to. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What happens in season four? They go. Don't they go on that retreat?
I can't even remember now. I was just trying to see what season. Like, they actually are going to jail, or like Joe's going to jail, like when everything kicks in and people are really like the Giudices mainly are going through a place of change.
I think Joe went to jail There was a period, there was like a week or something where Joe went to jail, I think, in the next season for like a preliminary. And they tell the girls that he like went on, had to go to like a trip thing.
If you're Italian American and your dad mysteriously disappears and then you're told that he's just on vacation, he's in prison. He's at Rikers. Mm-hmm.
God, let's hope not. He's going away for a while.
Mm-hmm.
He went away.
He's on a fishing trip. I think that's what. Wait, okay. Danny, remember Danny? Danny Provenzano?
Danny Provenzano?
His wife in the YouTube documentary about Danny's life, which I really think everyone should watch.
Should I still have to see it?
Oh my God. He says that his wife told his kids that he went to jail, that he went on a fishing trip.
Mm.
But I think he was in jail for a really long time.
He was in jail for like 12 years.
Yeah.
Danny and I have a lot in common because we've both been to prison.
The fuck? Danielle. She's really celebrating life right now. She got some extensions taken out recently.
That video was soothing.
Yeah.
Where she got her extensions cut at a salon in a mask.
Mm-hmm. She's never been happier.
Wait, someone sent me a photo of an old photo of Kelly Ripa from like 1999 with Danielle.
Yeah.
Were they friends?
Someone sent me that too. So Danielle, I guess, claims that she and Kelly were friendly because they both grew up in New Jersey. But then someone else claims that Kelly, like, they were just at the same party randomly, and then Danielle asked to take a picture with her.
Kelly grew up near me in South Jersey. Kelly grew up in Camden County. So that doesn't make sense because Danielle grew up in, like, Bayonne.
Yeah, or they were like teenagers at the same time or something. It's unclear.
Victoria sent that.
Victoria, I'm looking for it.
Victoria Tomeo. She was the reader who sent those amazing clips of herself at the Posh Fashion Show.
Oh, amazing.
She like crashed it.
Instagram makes it difficult to like look for anything in your DMs.
I've got to be quite honest for you.
I have some critiques of Instagram. Got some critiques
for Instagram, and I'd like to share them. What does it say though that the whole time we're talking about this season, we keep talking about
Danielle?
Mm-hmm. One thing I need to point out, just as we begin, is that scene when Andy brings up that Albert Manzo was fired by Chris Christie, I believe.
Yeah.
And what was Caroline's, her answer made no sense.
Her answer was like a really well media trained like deflection that like it was so smoothly delivered that you don't even realize that your whole line of questioning has been shut down. And she's like, I just came away from that entire interaction and I just wrote crime family. He was the commissioner.
He was the New Jersey Water Commissioner.
Of water.
In New Jersey. I was
what
like this.
What does he know? Huh? What does he know about water? That's what I
What's
said.
What's he know about like,
water?
I want to ask. Danielle would say something about it.
Oh, Danielle would have nothing but opinions. And then
he was basically the land baron.
Yeah, he was like in charge of water. But then also prior to that, Andy said that he read that Albie is trying to become the deputy sheriff of Hudson County. Mm-hmm. I was like, this family plays both sides and they do it well. They do.
Caroline,
it well.
My one thought watching this was she's got an answer for everything.
She sure does.
She's an immediate. She says, Caroline, if you listen to her, she denies everything. Is Albie depressed? No, he's serious.
He's very serious. Of what happened last year, she can always tie it back to something. She's like the grand matriarch, the grand dame of her family. She's not letting anything get by her to ruin her family's reputation.
Are you too hard on Lauren? No. I'm Pitbull.
Back to the Commissioner of Water. I remember Caroline's answer was, there was some confusion because we have some space over the brownstone that people was saying was an apartment, and it is not an apartment. It was like, what is that?
No, that mean? Was, I had nothing. I was like, wait, why are you talking? Was it because, did he do some tax write-off on this property? Was it like part of some like tax thing? He got in trouble with the governor, basically. Yeah. And Caroline was so...
She gave an answer to completely a question that was never asked. Pretty genius.
It was very Trumpian.
Yeah, we should all take a page out of that book. And then if someone asks you, like, did you steal this lipstick from Rite Aid? Then you say, there was a plant I liked and I thought I was going to buy it, but I didn't buy it. And then where do you go from there?
it was insane. It was like, oh, okay.
Are you Googling it?
Mm-hmm. The governor, pressured Manzo to resign as a commissioner at the North Jersey District Water Supply. This is not personal between me and the governor, and there's no animosity, Albert said. He came under scrutiny after Chris Christie accused him of deceiving the public by fibbing about his address for more than a decade.
Oh.
Albert has listed his official residence as an apartment at the Brownstone Restaurant.
Oh.
Mm.
His official
which is
residence.
Located in one of the 12 municipalities that the commission serves. And that was... So in order to take the job, he had to be in that zone. And his official residence in Franklin Lakes is not there.
Mm.
I mean, that's very crooked.
That's really crooked. That's like a straight up lie, some may say.
And that's him. I mean, a total lie. And that's him.
That's him assuming a government position.
By lying
about where he lives for years.
That's so to stay
in a position of power where like he's a water commissioner, like what does he know? Again, what does he know about the water? Nothing.
But also it's like in Dune, control the spice. He who controls the spice controls the universe.
Yeah. He who controls the water controls Jersey.
Seriously though, if you were like kind of in charge of a region or state's water, you have a lot of power.
True.
So that's, and it's a job to, and oh my God, they're so shady. I was kind of speechless. And every time I learn more information about how shady the Manzos are, I think back to Danielle and I'm like, damn, she wasn't that wrong to be that afraid.
No, we should probably hire bodyguards once we're done with this. Or we won't be doing any more Tough Sicilian Bitches episodes.
We won't be doing any more touching. Caroline told Radar Online, I support my husband 1,000%, and there are no improprieties here. He's proud of what he did on the board. He's doing it because he loves his state and community and doesn't want to bring any negativity.
Mm-hmm. Way to spin it. Queen of spin.
The spin queen herself,
Caroline Manzo. She comes in like a hurricane and spin, spin, spin.
Yeah. Damn. That is fucking shady.
Yeah. Incredibly like, shady.
There's probably... So that just shows you that he was only in that position for power.
Yeah. And what was he truly getting out of that?
Well...
Bribes?
I mean, Chris Christie was fucking corrupt, so it's all... I mean, he like, closed the George Washington Bridge or something to punish... He was very Machiavellian. As Camille would say, Machiavellic. Camille Grammer. he was very punitive in his against his enemies. So, you know.
But if Chris Christie has to pressure you to step down, you know you've really fucked up.
Damn, that was a bombshell, though. I was like, it's this place. Our home is 8 miles from the brownstone. And sometimes he just leads to lay his tired head down on a pillow. It's
sometimes I need to get away where I can just watch TV. That's all I'm doing, just watching TV. But why did he list it as his residential address when he
brownstone
didn't
is
live
his
there?
Home.
It's his home away from home. It's as he spends more time there with, and I watch all my TV there, so it's kind of like a home.
I don't even have a TV at my official house. We have no TVs there. The only TVs are at the brownstone, so I have to get my little car and drive 8 miles to the brownstone. That's a long walk, so we decided I gotta go watch The Masked Singer and Dancing with the Stars and you know, all the works.
I've always said home is where the TV is.
Home is where the TV and the chips are, and they're all there.
Home is where the cot is, and the cot's upstairs at the brownstone. Home,
I've always said, ever since I was a kid, I always said, home is where the cot is.
Anyone and who knows there. Me.
It's an, ew, just like a she's basically said, it's a blank, an empty apartment with a sole cot in the middle of the room.
It's like an army barracks. For
yeah.
One.
No, it's like it's probably like
a leather couch in it and like a random knight statue and like a huge entertainment center.
Okay, but also 8 miles is not that far.
No, that's a 10-minute drive. If you're taking highways to get there, it's 10 to 15 minutes depending on how fast you go.
Why does he need to just crash?
Sometimes he works long hours. He needs a place to rest his head. I call bullshit.
I call
Carrie's doing the Z-way, like, look into the camera move. Hmm?
I like, find myself doing that in my head, like, multiple times a day. Just seeing stuff.
Yeah.
Z-way. Iconic.
Hmm?
Didn't you mention that someone sent us like a gossip thing about the New Jersey Housewives and that Albert apparently had a guma?
I can't recall. I'm sure he did. I mean, I'm sure
Is that too?
No, I don't. I draw the line at gumas.
No, but maybe that was where.
But I think that if you have like a room, if you're a man or a woman and you have your home away from home, like Carrie Bradshaw's original apartment, and she wanted to spend some time there, but then got mad when Big wanted to spend some time there. Chances are someone's gonna fuck someone outside of the marriage at the home away from home.
I've always said you should never gender your trispads.
Never.
You should never gender your home away from home. A woman can have a home away from home just as much as a man.
A woman who works long hours, she needs a place to rest her head.
She needs a place to rest her head.
But
no.
I think it's like, it's a bit of a, you have to kind of just accept that you might not, you won't know 100% of the activity that's going on in the home away from home.
Well, Andy pretty blatantly said, it sounds like a trispad. And I think he was talking about the two of them, but I don't know.
Yeah,
it was,
but
the whole thing was super weird. And Caroline had this kind of like,
she got a demented. Little too smiley, a little too laughy. I'm just watching TV.
It's all good. What the fuck was going on there?
Nothing sacred.
Nothing. Nothing.
Nothing is going on.
It felt a little nefarious.
Yeah.
It was a clandestine pad.
Mm-hmm.
But not so clandestine, because he was openly marking it as. So where did they just assume that he lived at a banquet hall? I mean, that's kind of on Chris Christie.
I love like no one questioning that for years. He lives there.
They were like, oh,
wait, this ain't adding
up. Stupid. Like, he probably, that's, Albert always seemed really annoyed to go on camera, and that's probably, that was like probably one of the, he's like, I don't want them to like know
what this place actually is. Because once you're on camera and you're there, and then someone decides to do like a quick Nexus dick. Lexus or Lexus Nesset, whatever it's called. Yes, just Lexus. Dig up your dirt. Johnny Depp.
I enjoyed Eliza Minnelli.
I'm just signing on to Lexus Nexus.
Hi, Georgia. Eliza Minnelli. When someone, oh, we've got a caller from Georgia. Marianne from Georgia. Hiya, Georgia.
Like, all it takes is one search engine to bring down Albert Sr.'s entire empire. But anyways, the thing is, too, is, like, none of them can call each other out for any of this, like, on camera, because all of them have done some shady shit. Maybe not Kathy and Rich, but I'm sure you could dig something up on them. But, like,
Gorga's for sure.
Gorga's for sure. Remember, I think it's next season they start, like, a paper shredding business. I was like, honey, it's a little on the nose, don't you think?
Teresa's dad probably, I mean, he got mad at like a shoe cobbler enterprise that Kathy's mom's husband's, like, he, I mean.
No, they're, all their hands are dirty somehow. And so you'll never, they never come for each other over like everyone's illegal activity.
I think,
except for really Danielle, they tried to make her out to be, I guess, like prostitution. That's where they draw the line. Sex work is really not okay with them.
Yeah,
but like everything else is fair game.
Well, we,
I love that they're like, we've lied to about getting a government position, but like you may or may not have like fucked someone and gotten paid for it.
Yeah.
So like, it's actually, you're the bad person.
We stand with sex workers, so Caroline and the whole crew can go fuck themselves.
Yeah, I say sex work away. I applaud Danielle. There's a reason she's been engaged 19 times, and you've only been married once.
Okay? That's a Guinness book.
That's actually a...
19 times. That is unbelievable. That's probably... Over the course of,
that means
as long
you
as
would
I'd
have
survive.
To get 19 boyfriends and then have them fall, or girlfriends, have them fall so in love with you that they propose marriage to you. Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but 19 times.
And then to be, not only did she say that she was, and she wasn't and just saying I was proposed. No, she was saying I would.
Then you accept the engagement and you're engaged to someone and you're on track to get married. And then you realize they're not the person for you. Then you unengage from them, only to then meet another man, go through the whole process again. And then 17 more times after that, you are just continually doing it. It's incredible.
And somewhere in there, you're married for 10 or 12 years and have two humans.
Yeah.
Like, it's somewhere in there you spend a decade in as a family with someone.
Danielle said the reason that she was engaged 19 times is because she, like, wouldn't have sex before marriage. Which I love that. I love that hustle. And it's true, like the hustle for a woman of withholding sex from a man to get what you want is a power move that will work. It's proven. Danielle Staub proves it, but there's way other proof out there. So like, I respect that she's just willing to like withhold the poon to get what she wants.
To get a ring. It's unbelievable. I mean,
rings.
God bless her.
Queen of rings.
There's probably other ways that you could get stuff than having to get marriage proposed, because some guy is so horny that he's like, fine, I'll literally give you a diamond ring so I can fuck you.
But men are so horny. It just,
they
like,
are.
It won't. Makes like, sense. One of my current queens that is back in the news, just a diversion, is that woman who keeps getting revealed that she fucked like high level Hollywood executives and keeps getting them fired.
Oh my god. Charlotte something.
Charlotte Kirk.
Yeah. She had a music video out apparently.
Oh, her music.
She literally
video.
Took down Ron Meyer. She literally has had affairs. She only has affairs with CEOs.
She only has affairs with the heads of studios. And also, if you have watched any of her interviews or her music video, like, she is there. She's like not all there. There's like something going on that even just from my one off, I would be like, I'm going to avoid this one. Like, I just don't think. But men are so horny. They will throw any common sense out the window. I need any straight men to weigh in. I need you to just like watch this music video and then tell me like if you would feel safe like continuing to engage with this woman.
She needs to be a housewife.
She really does. She is iconic. Like she is bringing Hollywood to its knees, and I don't even think she means to do it necessarily.
No, I don't want to like take away her agency by saying like she's not fully, but it sometimes feels like she's like, oops.
Yeah, like,
another CEO down, another head of studio gone.
I don't think that she set out to be like, and now I'll get my revenge or whatever. Like, I think that she really just wanted to be like a famous, she wanted roles. Like, that's why she was fucking all these guys. It's because they were like, yeah, baby, I'll put you in like Fast and Furious or something like that. And like, the unfortunate thing is, no, have you watched any? She is no. Like, she's not, she maybe got like some kind of like background work, maybe like one speaking line role in like a Brett Ratner film or something. But she's like, if you watch her own reels and stuff, you're just like, this woman, like she's never gonna, it's never gonna happen. Like, you could fuck every single studio guy, which it's possible that she did. And it is not going to come together for her career. But I think that if she had it her way, she would probably just want them to stay in power. So eventually she would get a role. But she's just ain't getting the roles. And then they keep coming down and she's like, damn it.
Leave it to a fucking horny, like, straight guy that he can't even do what he says.
Like, honestly, you're the head of a studio. There are so many people out there that you could have sex with that like wouldn't destroy your life, and you would have like a fun time, they would have a fun time, you could get things that you could be mutually beneficial to each other, you could like have sex with an up-and-coming like great hot actress who like wanted to fuck you, and then you give her the role of a lifetime, and then you both win, and it's a great situation for everyone. But instead you're so horny that you just like fuck kind of a TBD a little bit. She's kind of a psycho. And then you lose everything.
To be clear, and again, she was having consensual, like,
everything was consensual.
Emotional and sexual. Like, she was having, like, long-term affairs with these men. So this wasn't just, like, I mean, it was
long-term affairs gross. And then being like, where are my roles? Being like, where are the roles?
She was like,
where are they? Yeah, she was like, okay, so I want a role. And it's like, it's kind of sad because it just is like, I'm sure people wanted to put her in things, but there also is just nothing for, like, she's just not a good actress. So, like, what do you do in that situation? I guess you bring Hollywood to its knees. Like, maybe she did. Like, I'm obsessed with her.
She needs to be on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
She should be.
Can you imagine?
A woman quaking in their boots. She's probably fucked all of their husbands.
Charlotte Kirk. Do you follow her on Instagram?
No, I need to. Do you?
There was a Daily Mail article, and then we'll get back to Housewives. Sorry.
Yeah.
We talked about the bonus, but there was a Daily Mail that linked to one of her Instagram. So I looked on her page for a second, and I was like, nope. It was like her singing. I was like, no.
Mm-mm. No, her presence,
She's not a star.
No,
but
she's not
a star. But she is a star.
She is a star, and she is iconic, but she is not a movie star, nor is she an actress, nor is she a pop star, singer, entertainer. She's just like a cultural juggernaut.
Phenom.
Yeah, phenom. She deserves reality, a docuseries, like something. She needs to give her moment. She'll have it. Who's making the documentary? Like, at me, please. Let me know.
I'm sure Andy Cohen has his wheels turning.
I hope he's reached out.
Probably.
I love her. Oh, okay. So wait, let's go back. Let's go back to Jersey.
Where back to Jersey.
To Jersey. There's a whole montage of everyone's Jersey horniness.
Mm-hmm. And I felt very unwell afterward.
Yeah, I like anything with Joe and Melissa's horniness, and like Kathy and Rich's is cute or whatever. But like, there's a moment where Andy asks Teresa, she's like, "How about you and Joe? Like, is he horny?" And she goes, "Joe's pretty horny, I gotta say." And I was just like, mm-mm.
Also, when he was like, "Melissa, like, I've never seen a hornier man than your husband. Like, how often do you?" And the camera, and Melissa was like, and then they kind of showed Teresa a little, and Teresa was looking down, which like maybe she was like, "I don't want to hear this about my brother," but also like,
I think she'd be fine to hear that. She seems like, she seems like to have no boundaries between her and her brother. So I don't see why she would draw the line there. I think it's just like, she's mad that someone else is hornier than she and Joe are.
Yeah, no, she's just like, she can't handle anyone outdoing her and her husband, even if it comes to her brother's sex life.
Yeah.
She cannot handle it. She has to be the horniest, you know,
horniest, shiniest,
like
dressiest,
bumping uglies at all times. Disgusting.
Andy asked Kathy like how she makes sure that like Rich and her have like a hot relationship, and Kathy gave some really good advice, which was, "I listen to him and I make him feel like he's the king." And I was like, I wrote that down, and that's getting saved in my like best advice of 2020.
And everyone went like this. Caroline went. Caroline's obsessed with Kathy now.
She loves Kathy.
Loves, loves, loves. I make him feel like a king.
And I make him feel like he's a king. Take note, power, everyone. If you're fucking someone or want to fuck them, listen to them and make them feel like they're the king or queen.
Kathy has a lot of quiet power to her.
Oh, totally. She's very self-assured.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that about her. And she also knows when to stay quiet or like not get into something. Like she won't take the bait a lot of the time with Teresa, which I respect as well, because that would be very difficult to do.
But she'll also chime in when it's really funny and like something. Like later when Teresa's like, "Oh, he was talking about Kathy," and she's like, "Oh, cool. So it's okay that she's talking about me."
She's like, "Old raccoon eyes over here. I guess that's me."
Yeah. Also, we find out Melissa. So Andy said there's a lot of rumors about, or question, "Have you ever swam in the lady pond?" Which she always loves to ask. Mm-hmm. And Melissa says, "No," but he's like, "Well, there's some rumors." And she's like, "Well, so when I was in high school, my best friend was gay, a girl. And she wrote like a tell-all article about me and her having like a torrid secret affair in high school." And I was like, "What?
I need to find that article, A. And B, like, justice for the lesbian in this situation."
Right?
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah, 100%. Did you see? You saw it. Everyone saw what Melissa looked like in high school.
She definitely, no, she totally had like a, like, wives of Bath, like.
She had a little bit of like, she had a little bit of a lesbian thing going on.
Mm-hmm. So the way she said, she was so like, no, it was just, yeah, nothing happened. I was like, I want that limited series.
Not. I'm actually
My brilliant friend. She had a My Brilliant Friend relationship.
Okay. So, TBD, actually, if this woman is telling the truth, because... All right. So, Jamie Bauer is the name of Melissa's BFF from high school, who is a bartender. And she's alleging that Melissa dated her for 18 months while she was still a teenager. And she gave some photos to prove her claim. But she gave this interview to the National Enquirer. So she probably got paid for it.
Yeah. I don't believe it.
Yeah, she said Melissa had one of the most insatiable sexual appetites I'd ever found in a woman. Declared her alleged...
talking about her as a teenager.
I know, like, go, Jamie, chill. Declared her alleged former girlfriend, Jamie, adding that Melissa once led a hell-raising life that is nothing like her now squeaky clean motherly image. This domesticated family woman that fans see on Bravo is definitely not the same wild child I used to share a bed with when we were younger. Jamie reveals she met Melissa when she was a 16-year-old sophomore at South Florida's Boca Raton High School back in 1995. Jamie was also 16 at the time. We met one night at a house party, and it was love at first sight, says Jamie. As a couple, we couldn't have been a more unlikely pair. Melissa was from an affluent family and hung out with all the popular kids. She was a cheerleader, never got into trouble, and made good grades. I was just the opposite. I was a high school dropout and already living on my own, says Jamie. Love, this is sounding more and more like Monster.
I know, it sounds like, Melissa, it sounds like Larry Clark's Bully, that movie Bully, that takes place in like the Everglades.
After we started dating, Melissa told me I was the first girl she'd ever been with. We managed to keep our relationship a secret from her mom for several months, even though I spent the night at her house several times a week and we'd sleep in the same bed. Jamie adds that Melissa's mom eventually caught on to the relationship and banned them from seeing each other, though they did still secretly. I'd sneak into Melissa's bedroom window several times a week for sex, claims Jamie. Eventually, things cooled off between the two, and Jamie was sent to jail for a probation violation.
Oh my God.
Jamie adds that Melissa still wrote her steamy letters almost every day while she was in jail. However, things ended after 18 months of dating when Jamie discovered Melissa had cheated on her. When I got out, I found out she'd cheated on me with another girl while I was away, states Jamie. Oh, heartbreaker, Melissa.
Damn.
I love that this Jamie person first said Melissa was nothing like how she appears. She was a wild child. And then she was like, Melissa made the best grades and was a good girl. It was like, okay, yeah. So what's your story then, you fucking jailbird?
Maybe. I mean, I feel like there could be some truth in there. Like,
yeah,
there's like morsels probably, but I feel like it was, but it does sound like a tale of like South Florida, like.
This is South Florida shenanigans. And also now I'm looking at a picture of the photos of the two of them. And it just looks like friends that are girls. Like there's no,
what's her name?
Jamie Bauer. There's like photos of them like hanging out on the couch or whatever. And one is like their arms are around each other, but they would make a hot couple for sure.
I can't see Jamie Bauer.
Mm-hmm. Bauer.
Oh, okay.
Here I'm chatting you a photo of
Whoa, I see her.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, she looks... They were just girlfriends.
I think they were just girlfriends. Also, it's like, okay, Jamie, if she wrote you the letters, like, produce the letters then. That would be the proof. Okay. Jamie, you're a liar and a fraud.
Jamie, a personal assistant to an adult film star.
Jamie was the Eileen Wuornos in the situation, and Melissa was the Christina Ricci.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to party. You said it was going to be party, party, party.
This was supposed to be fun.
Remember?
Yeah.
You said we were going to be partying. Now we're not doing any of that.
Exactly their relationship. And then Jamie went to jail. I love that Jamie's like, she was supposed to stay with me, but then she cheated on me. I'm like, you're both in teenagers. Oh, I love it. The twisted tales.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
At one point, Caroline Andy asks Caroline if she and Albert pay for her son's rent in their new in their Hoboken apartment, and she's like, no, no.
She goes, nope.
And I was like, a lie.
Lie. A bold
a fucking
lie.
They bought the apartment.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's actually true. They just bought.
Oh yeah, that is. No. No.
No.
No. No. I'm sorry. You can't pay for that apartment. I've worked at restaurants and like you can't.
A bartender and an unemployed.
Yeah.
A deputy sheriff.
Blackwater does not pay for that view.
No. Also, Andy asked Caroline how her sex life is with Albert Sr. And she goes, that is my very personal business and I will not share. And I was like, okay, so you never fuck.
Yeah. She's just on a...
She's on a high horse. Yeah.
Yeah. She's on a media trained cleanup job.
But then Tree just chimes in out of nowhere and she goes, I do have to say, Caroline is very sexy. Teresa.
She's like, I've seen her. I can tell.
Teresa was trying to like butter Caroline up so she would stop talking shit to her at the reunion. But that's sure. also not the way to do it.
No, Caroline was like, did not like that.
Caroline, maybe a lot of things, but sexy is not necessarily the first adjective that pops into my mind when one says to me, Caroline Manzo.
Except when she was.
I mean, she what? That's hair, her hairstyles and her just like power hair on a runway or at New Year's, that was sexy. I was ready to Dale. But like, Caroline, just like mom mode. Not mm-mm. She shaves her face in the shower.
Caroline also, when they bring up the hair, she's like, I'm hair challenged or I'm hair impaired. And I was like, don't knock yourself that much.
You're not hair impaired. Your hair looks pretty great here at this reunion.
Yeah.
She kind of does that like fluffy Hillary Clinton hair and it suits her fine. And also, I love just a bold decision with hair.
Me too.
Then, yeah, Caroline... asked about Lauren losing weight and she said, if I can't look at my child and say you need to lose weight, then who can? I was like, damn.
She goes, I'm a pit bull. I'm not gonna tell Lauren she's beautiful when she needs to lose weight.
And then
you cut to Kathy and Kathy's nodding.
Mm-hmm. They kind of all agreed with that. I was like,
what?
What? Pray tell? What was that?
I'm gonna lie to her.
I'm a pit bull. I'm not gonna lie to her and tell her she's beautiful when she needs to lose weight. Mom. My mom said that to me, I'd fling myself off of something.
You would find the nearest spike to impale yourself.
Yeah, I would fully. It would be like a crisis moment.
Mm-hmm.
I love. She's just matter of fact. I'm not gonna tell her she's beautiful. When she needs to lose weight.
Your child you look beautiful.
Yeah, you can say you're beautiful to me no matter what size you are. You are beautiful inside and out.
Yeah.
No, but not for me. No, I'm not going to do
for
that.
For me. Mm-mm. I'm a pit bull.
I'm a pit bull. Woof, woof.
I'm a pit bull. Woof, woof. Woof, 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 woof. And then you just cut to Melissa and she goes, "Rah."
Someone wrote in, a viewer wrote in, Caroline Manzo needs to sit down and shut up. How do people deal with her meddling? Which had me laughing out loud.
I loved it.
And Caroline, it's revealed that she and Dina aren't speaking anymore.
Oh, and yeah.
Now we really know why, the full story, because someone attacked Dina's boyfriend with a slapjack.
Yeah.
And Caroline definitely knew about it. And then and then Andy's like, are you a hypocrite for saying all this shit to Teresa about her family when you have your own family drama? And Caroline goes, no, because my heart is pure and true.
At one point, yeah, she goes, Dina and I, she goes, very sad. She goes, I've been trying to reach out to her for months. And then she goes, and then Teresa's like, you don't speak to like half of your family. And she goes,
8 out of 10. She goes, 8 out of 10. I speak to 8 out of 10 of my siblings.
And I would speak to 9 if they would, like, and I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And Andy's like, do you know what happened with Dina? And she goes, I don't know what happened with Dina. I love, she's just like, her whole thing is like, I have no idea, but she's mad. And if she needs to feel really mad, then that's fine. Like,
total operator.
We know why.
Because she was terrified for her
life.
Literally
tried to kill Dina's boyfriend and beat the shit out of him in a parking lot.
Your brother-in-law. Hired someone to beat up Dina's boyfriend.
In the brownstone parking lot, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So, no, in a, I think, yeah, yeah, yes. Because, no, it was Tiny Manza that was found in a shopping center parking lot. They love the parking lot.
They love. So,
no wonder Dina fled to the West Coast.
Yeah, Dina was like, Malibu fuck now. You. She's doing everything right.
But no, I don't know what happened. And she goes, someone was spreading lies. And she's like kind of alluding that it was Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
And then we found out Teresa and Melissa drops the bomb that Teresa and Dina weren't speaking for like half a year.
Yeah, but now they're like friendly again.
And Melissa was like, Teresa's like, that's a lie. I never. And then Melissa goes, you literally used to call me and just say, I hate Dina.
The best thing is that everything Teresa says, someone has the truth. And they're like, okay. And then you just see her being like, ah, like she malfunctions and can't even just say like, damn, you're right. Like, sorry about that. Oops.
Yeah.
It's just a full Momo robot meltdown.
Yeah.
She short circuits internally.
Yeah. 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10.
Fucking 10 siblings. Can you imagine having 10 siblings?
No, I wouldn't speak to most of them either. I don't blame her.
I mean, you have a lot as it is.
Yeah, I have 3 siblings.
Jealous.
It's a lot.
I wish
Andy
I had
goes, how long have you not spoken to Dina? Caroline goes, it's been a few months.
It's been a few months.
I love we get, there's like huge what happened to her energy going on. Like first Melissa says it while Tree is like screaming about her friendship with Dina. And then mm-hmm. Melissa to the, like Caroline goes, what happened to her? She's evil. She's turned evil. And then later Teresa says that to Caroline. Then Caroline says that to Teresa. And it's just like everyone asks everyone else what happened to them.
Yeah.
No one knows what happened.
No.
Then we cut to a montage of Ashley, and it opens with like her arsonist dad and stepmom showing up to that bar. And
oh my God.
After knowing like that they were out on bail for burning their own house down for the insurance money so they could buy plastic surgery and jewels, their whole vibe takes on like a new meaning.
Yeah. They were probably like,
the stepmom is leaning on the bar and she like flings her hair around. She's like, like I was just like, I could picture her lighting the match and like throwing it in the house.
They were like, we got to get out of Dodge for a few weeks.
Let's go to Jersey
and we can talk to my kid, use her as cover.
Maybe they'll pay us to be on that show.
Yeah. Stepmom, see if we can work a deal. Maybe
see if we can work a deal. I'll do anything. I'll be on that show.
Yeah,
I
maybe they'll pay
my new face.
Maybe they'll pay us. They'll do that, right?
Jaw out.
Yeah, and then later she's like, they probably like, I'll only appear if you pay us, and they're like, fine, we'll give you $50.
Yeah, works for me, I guess. Justice for fucking Ashley is all I will leave you with in this pod. I am team Ashley, ride or die against her parents.
No, she blocked us.
Well, oh yeah. I was going to say blocked you, not me. But then I remembered. We're both blocked. Damn it. But Ashley, if you're listening, fuck. But if you're listening,
I support you.
I support you. We support you.
Well, Laura supports you.
I support you. Carrie's on the fence, but like,
I support her. I get it. I was a
in
mess.
That situation. Guess what? In that situation, if I were her, I'd be fucking furious at my parents too. Chris Manzo, I don't get her fury at him other than just like being mad and resentful that her mom has a new life. Oh yeah, Chris LaRita has a new life with him. Because he did like get her a car, like he's giving her lots of gifts, and that would actually like,
it's not enough.
My love can absolutely be bought, so that would have worked for me in that situation. But I understand, I understand where her anger comes from, and I see her, I empathize, and I'm here with her, even though she has blocked me.
Well, basically, they talk about Ashley, and then Caroline says something like, she goes, she's very cunning, that one. What did she say? Like,
she goes, that kid has attitude and swagger like I've never seen. Swagger?
Caroline, like, loves Ashley.
She loves Ashley. Because Ashley's, like, outspoken. Caroline likes, like, an outspoken woman.
Mm-hmm. And I think she makes her kids look better.
Yeah. And I think she probably genuinely likes Ashley's style. Like, I think Caroline would wear more fedoras if she could.
And coats.
And berets, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Beanie. She like, there's probably one, Ashley probably came over one night and she was like in the kitchen and Caroline was like, where do you get these hats?
What are those hats that you wear?
What are those things? You look like Robin Hood.
Is that one of those hats from Paris?
I tried it on. No, I couldn't try it on.
They had a bonding moment where Ashley let Caroline try on her beret.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like this. I feel like I'm a detective. I'm a private eye.
Wow.
Caroline's private eye services.
I feel like Faye Dunaway.
No. I'm in Chinatown. Remember we went to Caroline and Albert, like, did a business in Dubai.
They have a business in Dubai?
Remember they were like in like Syria and Dubai or something?
Oh yeah, that like off, that just like one moment where she was like, we've done a lot of business in Syria.
Yeah, we were
like, what? I needed their tax returns as well. Can we get like the Supreme Court to agree?
Yeah. Let's get in there.
Every reality star should have to publish their tax returns.
Just like Trump.
Yeah. It's required. Like, we need, like, Jackson Brittany's tax returns, the Manzos. I want to see.
Also, speaking of Lisa really fast, Lisa Vanderpump fan Twitter was like, what are your thoughts on the Ellen situation? And Teresa was like, she's only ever been nice to me.
Lisa said that? They've probably rubbed shoulders at like various events and stuff.
She was like, I've appeared on Ellen's show thrice. Oh, she said, twice I've appeared on the show. And twice she's been nothing but kind to me, so I can't say for myself. And I just loved her. Twice I've appeared.
Twice I've appeared.
Like a vision. Twice I've received stigmata.
Frauds. Will support other frauds is all I'm going to say.
Fraud supporting frauds.
Fraud supporting frauds, and that's how it goes. Speaking of fraudulent, Christina, I was Teresa. I don't know why I said Christina.
Teresa.
Teresa comes out of the woodwork after they're talking about like Victoria's brain tumor, and she goes, Victoria changed my life, and now I just didn't learn from her not to take things so seriously. I was like, bitch, what the fuck are you fucking saying right now? You literally get mad if someone like breathes at you wrong.
We did like a montage of just the Wakili house just being like this sort of classic family, like the kids are really well behaved.
It's a beautiful family. He's like,
Kathy, do you think Victoria's brush with death has given her like more of a gratitude for life? And she's like, I'd say so, yes. And you cut to Teresa, and Teresa's dabbing her eyes. I was like, okay, cue the water.
Here we go.
And Teresa goes, every day I was at the hospital to see Victoria. And then you just see Kathy's face, and Kathy goes,
yeah, you came a few times. Kathy's her face. Kathy has like a, she's, you just see her, she goes like this. I mean, nothing would enrage especially a mother more than like, yeah, if their child was in the hospital and then someone tries to, who she already doesn't like, is trying to say like, I was there every day.
And also,
you
like,
can't, how does Teresa think that that's okay? Like, how does she think she can say that to the mother of a girl who was, had a brain tumor and had to get a brain tumor removed? And how is she going to pull that off? Like, that's how delusional Teresa is at this point.
I think that she really is trying any tactic that she can. Like, she's just, anything that she can to, in hopes that people will be like, oh, totally, and like see a new side of her. So like any opportunity that she can like grab onto to make herself like seem more empathetic, like to an audience or even to her friends, she'll take it. And especially in this moment where she's like, Victoria taught me a lot, like just blatantly rewriting history and like telling a lie right to your face about your own actions,
your own, and also to your own, to
your
someone's
own family, using your cousin's child's life-threatening brain tumor as like a way to make other people understand you better.
She made it about her.
Yeah, I love it.
But it's a little bit what psychopaths do.
Oh, it's a total psychopath move. Because then also it's not even like, it'd be one thing if you could relate it back to like pin it to an actual action of yours and be like, yeah, because of her, like I decided to like volunteer and like really devote a lot of my life to like helping other children in need. But Teresa just says a bold-faced lie, which is, I have chilled out and it really, I don't take things so seriously, and it taught me not to be so petty. When it's like,
and everyone, and literally everyone on the couch is like, what? But I love when she goes, yeah, I was there every day at the hospital. And you just see Kathy go, no. She goes, no, I mean, you were there, but
you were there,
not every day. Teresa's like, why? I came with Rosie. I came with Rosie.
And then, like, immediately someone says something to her, and then Teresa just snaps back at him. So I'm like, where did this, like, pettiness disappear to? Teresa really thinks that everyone's going to be like, oh my God, Teresa, that's incredible. Like, and you're so right, actually. Like, I never looked at it that way, but, like, you really have, like, released. And now that you said this, like, I see exactly where you're coming from. You are an incredible woman.
There is nothing worse than a combination of narcissism and just stupidity, because she thinks she's being clever, but it's actually like calling her a psychopath is probably too.
She's like, not calculated enough.
She's not calculated. She's so stupid that she can't like she can't pair her agenda with like any sort of wiliness. Yeah. It's all right out there.
It's completely reactive and just like in the moment being like, oh, this will work, and then trying it, and then someone's like, no, and she's like, ugh! And then like just waits for the next opportunity. It's like a dog, kind of.
She goes like that, but
it's a bad dog.
She starts dabbing. Kathy's like, the fuck are you dabbing? Like, the fuck are you crying about?
Then Teresa says that I distant myself from them. I distant myself from them because, talking about Rich and Kathy, because Rich busted on her all the time. Basically, Rich just like made fun of Teresa and it made everyone laugh. And then Teresa is so like narcissistic that she took it all really personally. So she distant herself from them. And Andy goes, are you trying to say distanced?
She goes, distant.
Distant. Distant. And he goes, distance. And she goes, distance.
This is also just after she said that Rich, the man that she's saying the reason why she distanced herself, his daughter taught her how to not take things so personally. Yeah. Like, her, she's just a fucking zigzag.
It's insane. How do you, like, I felt for Caroline because Caroline's like, I'm going crazy. I'm in the crazy house. I want to leave.
I'm going crazy.
I'm going crazy. Are you having crazy time? I'm having crazy time. I feel like a cuckoo. And Melissa's like, are you cuckoo? And she goes, I'm cuckoo.
I feel like I'm in the nut house. Crazy town over here. I feel like I'm going crazy on this couch.
Why did I even come?
Why did I even come? What?
This was the moment I wrote in my notes, like, after she talked about distant herself, I just wrote, thank God Tree went to jail.
You know? Also, she says, uneducated. Instead of educated. Uneducated.
Uneducated. Oh, and then she says, then they get into the christening and all the drama that went on there and the, like, the claims that Adriana was left unattended, which she was. And Teresa comes for Kathy and she goes, yeah, so when the going got tough, you ran away. And I am like, yeah, there was a literal brawl going down. Like, everyone wanted to run away from the physical violence. No,
Teresa wanted Kathy to throw down and get in with her. Like, she wanted, Kathy, she was like, I expected you as my family to get down and start punching, throwing punches like I did.
Yeah, like pulling hair and like getting physical. I love you. You ran away. And the going got tough. You ran away.
And that's actually not true. Kathy stayed. Kathy's like, the children were screaming. Kathy like went charged in and it's like the kitty corral, like trying to get all the kids like saved. Teresa actually ran away.
Yeah, she ran. She scampered off. Philomena, on the other end, did not run away. Philomena was throwing punches left and right.
Well, in Teresa's world, it's like you have to be completely loyal to her, even if she terrorizes you. And, like, is cruel to you and, like, makes you feel like shit when you're with her. You must, if she's about to throw down, like, you were expected to fall in line and be, like, a soldier of Teresa.
Yeah, she wants nothing but
soldiers.
But she
would never help you.
No. I'm busy. I have the kids and I got stuff to do.
Did we discuss last time how I had a theory that I thought Kathy, like, used to, like, smack Teresa around when they were kids?
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a little bit of fear with Teresa and Kathy.
Yeah, Kathy holds some sort of power over Teresa. Like, Teresa doesn't go as crazy on Kathy as she goes like on her brother and Melissa.
She's older.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, Teresa has like, beneath all of her fuckery, there's like a layer of respect still.
Yeah,
for Kathy.
Nothing but respect for our queen, Kathy.
But,
I think Kathy used to get a pretty physical with everyone because then she says she reveals that she pulled Rosie's hair once. I'll bet Rosie just delivered like a firm smackdown, and that might have just stopped Kathy from ever raising a hand to anyone ever again.
Oh, you know, Kathy and Rosie used to get into like fist fights.
Rosie beat Kathy to a pulp.
She
literally,
right,
like Jared Leto fight clubbed Kathy, and Kathy had to reconstruct her whole head, and then she swore off violence for the rest of her life.
I also think I could see Rosie beating the shit out of Joe Giudice when they were
Hell
kids.
Yeah.
I think Joe's afraid of her too.
Because
Joe like has a weird, like, he really,
he
like respects Rosie.
Yeah.
No, they're like chums. And like, especially in the next season, like they like bro down together.
Oh, I love that.
Go ahead. No, so Teresa's like, so Teresa actually ends up admitting that she did leave Adriana unattended. She just didn't like Kathy telling her.
That. Yeah.
And she goes, and then Caroline goes, I told Kathy that night it wasn't the time and place for that. We get it. It wasn't the right time. And then we get the cut of Teresa saying, she goes, Ma, Kathy says I left Adriana unattended. You know that's not true. And then you hear the mom goes, she's just, you're supposed to be a cousins. You should be ashamed of yourself.
You are supposed to be your cousins.
She goes, "Dove sti cugini?" That's cousins in Italian. Ooh. Cugini.
Oh my god, really fast friend of pod, Caroline Moss, sent an article last night that said make and jar pomodoro to last all year long. It's a New York Times article about pomodoro.
Pomodoro is trending hard. Someone sent us a video of that of Gigi in Milan during Fashion Week, Gigi Hadid, and she's like standing in front of like a store, like posing for her fans to take photos, and literally some Italian person is going, "Gigi, we love you, Gigi." Someone wrote, "Pomodoro strikes again. Pomodoro loves Gigi," and truly, Pomodoro did surface in Milan and loves nothing more than a Hadid sister, but specifically Gigi.
Oh, Gigi, we love you,
Gigi. We love you, Gigi.
You honorary Italian, Gigi, stay here.
Wait, I need to play the audio of this because it truly is.
Oh my god, Gigi! Gigi, I love you! Gigi, I'm a big fan of you! Gigi, I'm a good girl! Oh my god, Gigi! Wait, Gigi, that's really okay.
Yeah. Oh,
oh my god, Gigi, I love you.
Gigi. Oh, Gigi.
Gigi, I love you. I'm a big fan of you.
Like, that is the most pomodoro. That almost feels like it was superimposed into the clip.
That is like pomodoro. I don't even know who made that or if it's real, but it truly captured the exact pomodoro speech.
Oh, Filomena!
I've had enough of this house! This house is so violent! I have violence everywhere! I must go back to the motherland! Goodbye!
Shut up, you! Get out of here!
Shut up, you! Get back in the pot! I smush you! I am sick of the threats! No more threats!
Oh, not the jar for me! Oh, I put you in three separate jars! You will be in the jars!
That's like Russian more.
Gigi, I love you! Pomodoro went to Italy, moved to Italy, swam across the sea, got out of Italy, and has been living his best life ever since.
How long
never
did it take
looked
to
back?
The ocean?
Weeks. Nay, months.
And he had some close calls getting
with his skinny little arms. Woo. He goes, yeah. I have dodged all the sharks and the whales to get to the motherland, to get to Italy.
He almost got swallowed by a whale.
Yeah, almost. He may have even gotten swallowed by a whale and then just lived inside a whale for a while and then got blown.
It's like a warm cabin.
It is not like Italy, but I will take it.
I will take it, yes.
Yes, it's okay with me. And then he got blown out of the whale's blowhole back into the...
He was like, he made a little home for himself inside of a whale.
He made a little fire and he would put like sticks up and then just warm himself over the fire. And he accepted his life inside the whale. But then one day the whale just blew. He was, ooh, it's pretty lucky in here. Ooh, there's lots of a bile in this stomach. And then
he landed right on the shores of Spain,
mm-hmm. Where then he just walked the rest of the way to Italy, yep. And hitchhiked with a few kind Italians that picked him on the street. Please, I may have a ride. I'm trying to go to Milano.
Oh, either a car, a horse-drawn carriage, anything, a buggy, anything, a little moped. Take me there.
And then he rode into town on the back of a like a scooter.
He arrived in Rome on the back of a scooter.
And he went up to
right to that fountain. And he
Spanish
step.
Trippy fountain.
He threw a little coin and he goes, I wish you me good luck.
Yeah, and then he stomped around at the fountain. He went, "Oh, I'm back here. I must bathe in the fountain for good luck." And then he got chased away by la policia.
But he's just been a total Italian pomodoro since then.
He has. Aww.
And then 2018, he had a peak of life experience when he saw Gigi Hadid.
Oh, in Milano. Gigi.
Oh, Gigi. I love you, Gigi. I'm a big fan.
Gigi, I love you so much. Oh, Gigi.
I love everyone pointing and screaming at Teresa. There's just a point where it's Caroline and Melissa just at her.
Is that when Teresa calls Caroline? She goes, "You're like the exorcist."
Yeah, she goes, "What happened to you? What's happened to you?" Like, just trying to say, again, her just saying, like, not even realizing she's saying the exact thing that Melissa said. Like, that someone's going to like, "Yeah, what did happen to you, Caroline?
Yeah.
No one's going to side with you, Teresa. Like, this is not your time."
I mean, she looks around. What happened to you?
This is when Teresa says she wrote in her blog that she was devastated that Joe and Melissa wouldn't stay for Christmas and that they went to Kathy's instead. And then she tries to claim that they only stayed at her house for an hour before they left. And Melissa says, "No, we were there for 3 hours." And then Teresa goes, "I was devastated."
And Melissa was like, "Why?"
Devastated.
And Melissa's like, "Why would I want to stay there when you guys were all being mean to me?"
That's like, Joe was literally sitting in a corner drinking wine.
She's a witch.
She's a witch.
Get that witch out of here. She's like, "Your husband's sitting on the kitchen island, literally calling me a raccoon with an earshot." And then Teresa goes, "Ugh, he was talking about Kathy." And then Kathy goes, "Oh, great. That's nice." And then awesome. You just hear Melissa go, "Oh, Teresa."
I love when Melissa has to like clutch her pearls at something Teresa says. She plays that role really well.
Oh, Teresa.
Teresa goes to Caroline. She goes, "Oh, you would just want an hour with your family. That would be enough." And Caroline goes, "I will take a second with my family." That was Caroline's big
"I would take a second
moment.
With my family. A second. I would take a second with my family.
Family.
Oh, don't think about my family."
Then we find out Teresa went wild on her blog. And she just blogged her little heart away and said all sorts of things on the blog. She said, "Melissa broke up our family and she wants it that way for her own gain." And it's like,
yeah,
you're an insane person that you would blog that.
Well, she also says, Andy's like, do you think it's possible that, like, because we find out Joe was engaged twice before Melissa, and Melissa's like reveals that it's because they couldn't get along with Teresa and her parents, and Andy was like, "Do you think it's possible that, like, you might never like any of the girls that your brother is with?" And Teresa's like, "Nah, that's not true."
Great.
Yeah.
Once again, just like, won't even admit to anything so we can move forward.
Was the blog where she talked about how Melissa like copied her, and Melissa's like, "What are you talking about? Like, you went to my wedding." And she goes, "Well, your wedding, christening for Adriana was a lot fancier than your wedding."
Yeah, she says first that Melissa like copied her so much. And Melissa's like, "What are you talking about? Like, give me an example." And then Melissa's like, "Well, I bought a dress for like a christening, and then you went and bought the same dress. So like, who's
copying who?" And wore it to your housewarming last season.
Yeah, and then Caroline goes, "We're Northern Jersey Italian. We're gonna buy the same thing." And she and Kathy both point at each other in unison. They go, "We have the same bedspread. We have the same robe." And then they all laugh. And I was like, I have full body chills. I've never wanted to be a Northern Italian Jersey gal more in my life.
They say her and Kathy are like astral twins.
They are.
They say it at the same exact time. It's crazy.
They love it. And Tree, so Tree criticizes Melissa's wedding flowers specifically. And she's like, we're Italian, you're American. We do it a lot differently. And just like the flowers at your wedding, they were not, and it's like, I am not clear on what she was so mad about at the flowers. And Melissa's like, why wasn't
Once again, she's
$30,000 on flowers.
She's once again using her like full Italian heritage as like a weapon. Mm-hmm. And she goes for the jugular of what she thinks is a jugular by saying like, oh, you're just American. Like your flowers weren't like, I guess, large and in charge enough for a wedding.
Yeah. But then she criticizes the christening. So it's like, you've just negated your own point and you're just like a bitch. Like at the end of the day, like what you're mad that the wedding wasn't nice, but then the christening was really nice. So what's the fucking point? And then Melissa brings up too, she's like, we had a lot more money by the time we had a christening, which is why it was nicer. It's just like, this is common sense, Teresa. Like, you're not going to win like the mental gymnastics of these fights. So stop trying.
And Melissa's like, do I not seem like the person that goes over the top for my kids? And Teresa's like, wow. So like Teresa has this like insane theory about why she started copying the family, like changing to like try to like rip off the Gorga way.
But then also like, it's like, you can't say we're Italian and you're American and like begrudge someone for not doing it the Italian way. And then when they do it the Italian way, you're mad about it. Like,
nothing she does is ever going to be good enough.
Yeah. You're setting up like a lose-lose situation for this person.
Yeah.
And then Andy goes, you said a lot of things about Melissa. Is there anything you said this season about her that you regret? And then Teresa just goes, well, she did say a lot about me. I don't know what she regrets or not. Like, answer the wrong... Like, and he goes, no,
she answered Melissa's question.
Yeah. I don't know if she has regrets. And he goes, no, I'm asking you if you said anything that you have regrets about. And then she goes, I don't know. I'd have to think about what I said. And then Melissa goes, oh, you want a list? And pulls out her phone and just starts reading off, which I was like, yes.
That was amazing.
That's where we need to be.
And then Melissa says, Andy asked Melissa that, and she goes, I probably would have not said we pay our taxes.
Pay our bills.
Our bills, which was like, she owned up to it.
Mm-hmm. Which also, she's also, like,
she was right.
Yeah. I love to, as Melissa's reading off everything, Teresa has like an excuse or some sort of like aside comment. And then she says one thing and Teresa goes, okay, I'll regret that.
the bar or like the what Teresa like the benchmark for what's bad and not is. I would just like to. I mean, I wouldn't, but I would like to like spend an hour in Teresa's mind just to see, and then like never go in there again. But maybe I would come out with like a shock of hair.
Yeah, you would come out with like with a gray streak.
Mm-hmm.
I just think her brain is like, it must just be running 1,000 miles an hour, like too fast, and like everything's wrong and just like in defensive attack mode, which mm-hmm. also it's like she is going through like a
totally.
Scandal that will lead her to being incarcerated for a long time. So that's stressful.
She's too much on her plate and she doesn't have the tools, as my mom would say.
Yeah. Andy comes for Joe Giudice saying faggot and having Joe Gorga in his phone as faggot. And then everyone kind of like sticks.
Yeah,
up
this
for
part
him.
Was. This was really so bizarre. Weird. Caroline, first of all, Caroline will come for Teresa all day, but she has like a weird soft spot and excuses Joe Giudice's behavior.
Yeah.
And like, we're sitting with two people that have gay siblings. Like, mm-hmm. Kathy has Rosie, Caroline has Jamie. So like two of them
and
have
Greg.
Gay, and Greg. Other gay family and also members. Yeah. And like, so they all, and then Teresa is Kathy, you know, Rosie's cousin. Anyway, they all have gay family members. And Andy's like, that's not, Joe can't say that. And Teresa goes, oh, well, he's, you know, he doesn't get, like, I, you know, it's fine. It's fine. Like, she doesn't.
He doesn't mean it as an offense. It's just fine. And it's like, everyone kind of backs her up. And it was just an interesting glimpse into, I guess, like, a attitude about saying
gay people
in 2011 and gay people. And also just yeah. like, just not the like not getting like why that would be harmful mm-hmm. or anything. It was very bizarre.
Andy,
and also
I felt
just
like
having gay like gay fam- it was like there was such a disconnect.
Yeah, and it, you could just tell Andy was kind of at a loss for words in that moment because he was just like, okay, but does Joe know that that's not okay to say? And then he's like, Caroline, you have a gay sibling. How does that make you feel when you hear Joe Giudice saying that slur? And Caroline goes, I don't, it was no malice against the gay community. And I was like, what the f-? And then they all go, yeah. And then Kathy agrees. I was like, what?
Giudices, the lot of them.
Well, it's just, it's, you're right. It's interesting. I think that they don't like, I think when it comes to like, they're okay with it if it's like they're someone they grew up with or like love.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's on like a whole scale, like they probably are like, oh, I don't see the, what's the problem with that? Boys will be boys.
Yeah. But then Andy's like, what if like your daughter said that, if your daughters hear him saying that, they would then say it to someone on the playground. And then
he goes, what if
like,
Gia ever said that?
She would never say that. But what was interesting too is that Melissa has a moment. She goes, Joe uses two words a lot. It's the F word and another word. And I think that she's talking about the N word.
Whoa. Yeah, she's like, the other word I'm not going to say.
Yeah. And I think that it was like just saying.
Totally.
Like,
I could yeah. see that.
I was just like,
I think
ugh.
He clearly has. I mean, just in terms of the fag word, that
he
F word
it as like a, he means it as a put down and as like a,
yeah. And it clearly he has some fixation on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have, I've never known anyone to have someone. I mean, maybe like if it's like part of their like dynamic or role play, but like, I've never, I don't think anyone has someone in their phone as faggot unless they're meaning it for cruelty.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's incessant.
Yeah. Unless you're meaning it as like a total joke and it is your joke with your good friend
yeah, like,
and you both have each other in your phones as faggot, which to me is kind of hilarious. Like, but if you don't like someone or you have beef with someone and then you put them as faggot in your phone, chances are like you mean that as like a slur to like hurt them.
Teresa goes, they say it to each other. And then Melissa's like, no, that's not true. Like, my husband never says that.
She goes, Joe says two words a lot.
Oof.
Ooh, yeah.
No malice against the gay community at all.
Okay,
no,
Caroline.
Okay, Caroline.
Known ally, Caroline Mantle.
Yeah, advocate.
Whew.
I mean,
I'll breathe easy because Caroline Manzo said that Joe Giudice has no malice against the gay community.
Gay, what would gay advocate
Caroline Manzo say about this?
Danielle Staub say. Remember in season one when
she'd
came
be
for
like,
Joe Giudice?
She probably would be like, he is a faggot.
Well, it's always
that.
Well, he is.
Well, I have to be quite honest with you.
He very much is. If I knew the definition of one, I'd say that is indeed one.
But also it's like that. I think it's true Northern Jersey Italian and Italian American lingo that's very much like an acceptable
terminology
in that culture.
I think it's in a lot of cult. Like, I'm sure, like, Irish. I mean, I've heard Irish Catholic people say that word. Like, it's mm-hmm. just, it's embedded.
Yeah. Not that I'm not saying like that makes it okay. I'm just like,
no. But I think
why they would all be like, it just is a thing we say sometimes.
Yeah, it was a dark moment.
Andy brings up Gia's sad song, and this is when I started to just zone out because I was like, I can't take Tree anymore. And everyone's basically being like, why would you have let your daughter sing this on national television and like put herself out there like that?
Well, I remember when we watched this episode, we talked about, I said, like, I feel like Teresa was kind of like, oh, shit, when she started singing it. But now she put her up to it, I think.
Yeah, I think she practiced. There were deleted scenes or something of her practicing the song ahead of time.
Yeah, and I think when she said, get my father out of here, she, like, knew it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I liked how Caroline called, she's like, you weaponized your daughter.
Yeah. And Tree goes, Caroline, go scratch. What a turn.
Go pound sand. My mom says, go pound sand.
Go pound sand. And then Tree goes, I thought it was beautiful. And Caroline goes, that wasn't beautiful. It was tragic.
She's right.
It was tragic.
It was hellish.
Yeah. It was heinous.
And she completely used her daughter. She triangulated her traumatized daughter. To prove a point and to punish her brother and his wife.
But then again, much like everything Teresa tries to do, it just made her look really bad. It's like, she truly, how many times, it truly does take like going to jail to get her to understand herself better. It's a blessing.
I think it did. I think jail was like the best thing that ever happened to her because, one, it humbled her, and two, it eventually got rid of Joe.
Yeah.
Some I think those were the two.
Need to go to jail. And I would argue, like, yes, like, there are some crimes that you should go to prison for. Fraud is definitely up there. But also, I feel like you should be eligible for prison just for being, like, having a bad attitude, like Teresa. Like, yeah. There's some people that could use a little bit of jail time just to kind of like whip them into shape.
I mean, I thought Lindsay Lohan would have learned something in jail.
No, she wasn't in there long enough. Teresa had a good, you have to be in jail. Like, how long was she in jail? Like 10 months or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you need to be 10 months, 10 months or above. You need a year sentence and then serve at least 10 months of that. 30 days in jail is like nothing. Anyone can do that. Lindsay just wailed the entire time and was like a drama queen. And like, I'm sure it just like drove everyone else crazy and was actually like a torturous experience for other people that were in there. Because like Alexis Nyers was in jail at the same time as Lindsay. And she was like, every night I would just hear her like wailing.
Alexis did well.
Yeah, Alexis, she did really well in jail. Jail was a net positive.
We're seeing the Teresa that I think Teresa still has some like maniacal twists and turns after jail, but I think she's on a whole better off.
Yeah.
Having gone through that.
I don't know exactly.
And getting rid of Joe. I really think Joe Giudice was a true poison for her. I think she had all the ingredients herself and acted on her own volition, but I think Joe Giudice totally twisted her up.
Yeah.
He knew sucks.
How to play her.
I got bit by a jellyfish. His recent post. Joe Giudice just did a post like last week where he's just like topless. Looking great, by the way.
He's looking on a beach, good.
On a beach in Italy, and he just wrote, his caption was, got stung by a jellyfish. Got bit by a jellyfish.
Love that for him.
And then the second photo was a picture of a jellyfish. Like a stock photo.
In case you don't know, this is a jellyfish.
In case you don't know, this is a jellyfish.
I like that nature is taking its revenge. Joe Giudice is the kind of person who needs jail and then deportation. And then after that, nature needs to start taking its revenge. And then maybe he'll like change his ways. some people need a mixture of punitive measures to really like do the deep look inside and be like, okay.
The Italian lockdown was probably good for him.
That was great for him. Though it did just throw him on like a coronavirus rant social media. Yeah.
Look at this.
He was one of the earliest rant social media ranters.
Yeah.
Yeah. God. Well, it's been a journey, and so glad to have been on this journey together.
Me too. It really helped, and I hope that everyone enjoyed it, and this will be our last foray into North Jersey for now.
Yeah.
Perhaps one day we'll return to our ladies of the North, but for now we have to, you know, we have to leave the brownstone.
I know. I'm sad, but I know that it's the best thing, I think, for now.
Laura and I are walking out of the brownstone in furs and like click clack
long cigarette.
Mm-hmm. Getting into like an SUV and driving off.
Mm-hmm. Putting our sunglasses on. Looking back.
At night.
Yeah.
It's winter where we are.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
God, this was the November. Year we were going to go to Jersey and take it by storm.
Next year,
yeah. 2021.
2021. Watch out for 2021.
2021, I'm a pit bull. We have to have a show in Jersey. I'm a pit bull. Not going to tell you she's beautiful. She needs to lose weight.
I'm not going to tell you she's beautiful. I talked to 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10.
8 out of 10. 8 out of 10. He's got a cot up there. Just a cot.
Someone to rest his head.
Someone to rest his head after a long shift.
Long day.
We live 8 miles away. Where we live is 8 miles away. It's like, cool. That's literally how long it takes to get from where I live to like... Anyway.
Actually, 8 miles in LA is like really long. 8 miles that would warrant a second home somewhere to rest your head. But yeah. 8 miles in like New a Jersey. Suburbs is not second home necessary. Mm. My parents live 8 miles away from each other in Oklahoma City. Takes 10 to 15 minutes to get between their houses, depending on how fast you drive.
LA, it's...
LA, 8 miles is an hour.
Hours.
Yeah. An hour to two, maybe two and a half.
Yeah. It really is true. Like, all the... tired jokes about LA driving, like they're all true.
Everything you hear is true.
Everything you've heard. I distant myself from him and her.
We're distant ourselves from New Jersey after this.
I'm not uneducated. Lars, you can follow Laura at lauramarie.com. At Laura Marie on Twitter and Instagram.
Lars Marie on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow Carrie at
Lars Marie. Thinking of your website, LarsMarie.com. At Lars Marie on Twitter and Instagram.
You can follow Carrie at eCario. Stay tuned for what happens next.
Yeah, we're going to take a brief pause and we'll be back.
Yeah, we're going to take a week off, and then we'll be back in 2 weeks with a whole new journey. But I will. We'll let you know in between then, like, what we're going to be up to after. Some way, somehow, we'll get the message out. So stay tuned. And then if you want bonus episodes, you can go to patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast. A lot of people have messaged me saying... you and Carrie need to rewatch early seasons of Vanderpump Rules and recap those. But your girl has already recapped early seasons of Vanderpump Rules with various guests. And all of those episodes are on Patreon.
Including me.
Yeah, including you. So seasons 1 and 2, I recapped with various guests. Season 3, I actually did on Pumped Podcast. And that early season of Pump Podcast is really, really funny. And that's also on Patreon. So for $5 a month, it's all there for you. All this, this treasure trove of content. So check it out. Patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast.
I think $5 is a good deal.
It's a pretty decent deal for all the shit that you get.
Yeah.
One low cost.
$5.
$5. All right.
Lars.
Well, until next time.
Love ya. Love all y'all.
Bye.
Love all y'all, as Brittany would say.
Love all y'all.
Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.